Welcome to the program Blessed Among Men and Women with Father John Horgan, a program about the men and women the Holy Father has brought to the altar as blessed. And now here's Father John Horgan.
Welcome to Blessed Among Men and Women, a continuing series on the lives of saints and beatified persons who have been raised to the honors of the altar by Pope John Paul II. My name is Father John Horgan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Vancouver, and I'm very happy to be your host for this series. Today I want to speak to you about a holy woman who is very dear to my own heart, Blessed Marie of Jesus de Louille Martigny, the foundress of the Congregation of Daughters of the Heart of Jesus, a cloistered community of sisters who dedicate themselves to Eucharistic adoration and to prayer in reparation for outrages committed against the Blessed Sacrament and the sins and failings of priests and religious. I have the happiness of being the vice postulator for the beatification cause of this wonderful 19th century foundress whose name is not yet well known in the English-speaking world. Marie de Louille Martigny was born on the 28th of May in 1841. She was the firstborn daughter of a very old and well-known family. Her father, Paul, was a lawyer and a noted Catholic leader, outstanding for his works for the city of Marseille and for the many charities of the Church. Her mother, Anne-Marie de Solier, came from a family that was well known for its connections with the Church and for her great aunt, the Venerable Anne Madeleine Remusat, a Visitandine sister who was the author of the Litany of the Sacred Heart prayed throughout the Church today. On the day after her birth, the little one was baptized Marie Caroline Philomena. She received her early education at home together with her family and younger sisters. In 1849, Marie's family sent their daughter to college with the Sisters of the Visitation. There she made her first Holy Communion, and during these years showed a great interest in the religious life. In fact, gathering her little friends around her, she created her own small religious congregation called the Oblates of Mary. Later, Marie was transferred from the Visitation Sisters' school to another convent school, at Lyon, and there she shone at her studies. She received her confirmation in 1854 from Saint Eugene de Mazenode, Bishop of Marseille and founder of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, who himself was canonized on December 3, 1995, by Pope John Paul II. Together with her sister, Emily, she went on to studies in the Convent of the Sacred Heart at Ferrandière. Before returning to her family, Marie made a course of spiritual exercises under the direction of Father Bouchaud, a Jesuit, and it was at this time that she had her first experience of Ignatian spirituality and felt clearly within her heart the voice of God who was calling her to a religious life. And so, in May of 1858, Marie went to Ars to consult the holy Saint John Vianney, the parish priest of Ars. The man of God looked deeply into her soul and said to her, "My dear, before you know your true vocation, you will have to say many Veni Sancte Spiritus, invoking the Holy Spirit." Back at home, Marie continued to go to Mass each day and receive Holy Communion and lead a very intense religious life without any outward show. In 1859, her sister Clémence died, to her great sorrow, and later her sister Marguerite. Marguerite, too, a deeply religious young woman, felt the same inclinations to religious life as her elder sister, and died speaking to her confessor the words of the Mass, "May the Lord receive this sacrifice, the sacrifice of my life, at your hands, for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his Church." A very important step in Marie's life was her discovery of the Association of the Guard of Honor, which she learned of in 1864. This religious group, founded by Sister Marie of the Sacred Heart of the Visitation Monastery of Bourg-en-Bresse, had as its purpose the gathering together of many men and women of all ages and ranks of life to give an hour of adoration each week to the Most Sacred Heart in reparation for the sins committed against Christ's love. Marie became a great promoter of this work, which she found expressed her own desires and aspirations so well. In 1865, she went to Bourg to meet the foundress of this society, and later to Paray-le-Monial to venerate the relics of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and to receive from God further light on her own vocation. While she was in the world, many offers of marriage were presented to the young woman, but she rejected all of them, sure that God would make clear to her his own desires for her vocation. She sought advice from the servant of God, Monsignor Daniel Comboni, and from other religious and priests. At the end of 1866, Marie began to receive spiritual direction from Father Jean Calage, a Jesuit of the house at Marseille. Under his direction, she began to keep a spiritual journal in which we read of her many self-offerings to God. She was able to write very early on in her spiritual life, "The crosses which our Lord sends me are the result of the act of oblation, the act of self-offering, which he has invited me to make." She wrote, "For some time our Lord seems to have made an altar in my heart, where he offers himself constantly to God the Father. He seems to want my soul to remain ever in his presence. Before this altar I make ceaseless adoration, and am happy to look upon him and be united to his love." This was the spirit in which Christ was forming her. In September of 1867, she began writing to the foundress of another community of religious women devoted to the Sacred Heart. At about the same time, she received a very important grace while she was at prayer. She describes it in her diary in this way: "In the Church of Saint-Genier, I received our Lord, and who gave me an extremely great grace on the work that is to be accomplished in the future. After I had spent some time at his feet, feeling very dry in spirit, I felt the Lord speaking to my soul. He said to me, 'You have only to annihilate yourself. You are but a poor shell under which I want to hide myself. I desire saints. I desire hearts who will understand me. I am a torrent who wants to break its banks, whose waters cannot be contained. I want to form for myself souls who will receive this living water. I want to create chalices to fill them with the waters of my love. I am profaned. I am outraged. Before the end of time, I want to receive reparation for all of the outrages which I have received. I want to pour out all of the graces which have been refused. Do you know what it means to adore, really? I am the only one who truly adores. I am sovereign beauty." Pondering these words, Marie's religious vocation became clearer and clearer to her. It would be a Eucharistic life, a life modeled on that of Our Lady after the Ascension, a life in which she would ceaselessly offer back to God the Father the blood and water that flowed from the side of Christ in his piercing on the cross, a life of union with the constant sacrifice of Jesus in the Mass, a life of prayer and oblation for the priesthood which she saw represented by St. John at the foot of the cross. Providentially, Marie encountered a very holy and wise priest from Belgium, Monsignor Vandenberg. Through his influence, she was invited to meet with Cardinal Deschamps at Malines to speak about her desire for a community that would dedicate itself completely to the adoration of the Eucharist and to these ends of prayer. And so in 1873, with her parents' consent, Marie went to Antwerp, and there, consulting with the Cardinal, received permission to form a first religious house. This religious community was founded then at Berchem in Antwerp on June 20th, 1873. On that day, four sisters in white habits and four postulants pronounced their words of consecration and union with this community, which would offer Jesus to the Father continuously. In the months following the foundation of the community, the young foundress, who herself was less than 32 years old, set herself to writing a constitution for the community, basing herself upon the rule of St. Ignatius. She composed these constitutions before the Blessed Sacrament, writing for hours. In it, she proposed to the religious meditation throughout the day on the seven last words of Jesus on the cross, which Mother Maria of Jesus considered to be Christ's last testament. Together with the seven last words, the sisters were to particularly love the Magnificat, Our Lady's hymn of triumphant thanksgiving. And this joy and thanksgiving were to characterize this community, otherwise vowed to reparation. The constitutions of the Daughters of the Heart of Jesus were approved by Monsignor Deschamps in 1876, and Leo XIII would grant the decree of praise in 1888, only a short time from the foundation of the community. They were written in order to lead the religious to correspond in as much as possible to that great love of this divine heart which is so little known, to offer to the heart of Jesus, priest and victim in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, perpetual reparation for the outrages made to His Divine Majesty, to thank the heart of Jesus continually for His great benefits, for His great mercy for sinners, and especially for His particular blessings that He pours out upon religious and priestly souls. Finally, to offer unceasingly the most precious blood of Christ our Lord to the Holy Trinity, to call down the coming of the kingdom of Christ, the end of secret societies which persecute the Church, and especially the perfection and the ever-increasing sanctity of the Catholic priesthood and religious orders. Joined to the Immaculate Virgin, their patron and model, these consecrated souls would always be, as perfectly as possible, joined to her sentiments, her emotions, her will, as she stood beneath the cross of her Son, offering herself to the divine justice for the salvation of the world, together with the precious blood of Christ. The Daughters of the Heart of Jesus, thus, were never to cease to offer their prayers, penances, and occupations, their sacrifices and their life, for the Catholic Church, the priesthood, and religious life. In 1878, Pius IX erected the church dedicated to the Sacred Heart at Antwerp to the rank of minor basilica. It was consecrated on the 17th of August of that same year, and 5 days later, Mother Maria of Jesus, together with her first four companions, professed their final vows. In 1880, another community was founded, this time at Marseille, at La Serviane, which was a summer home of the family of Deluille Martigny. To that house there came, as a refugee, the elderly Jesuit Father Collage, for the Jesuit residence at Marseille had been closed and the community officially suppressed as the result of laws then in force. In the midst of innumerable difficulties, lack of funds, the difficulties of establishment, and so many others, the community grew in number and in observance of the constitutions and in grace under the maternal but resolute guidance of Mother Maria of Jesus. The great characteristic of this congregation from its very beginning was a deep and loving union of hearts. The mother cultivated this by calling her daughters to truth and to humility. She often compared their vocation to the presence of violets growing in a garden, violets whose presence is known not by the size of the flower or by their brightness, but by their subtle fragrance. In the same way, the life of a contemplative sister, a cloistered nun, is to be marked by humility and the fragrance of virtue. over and over again, the foundress expressed in her diaries, in her prayers, her desire to be immolated for Christ. She wrote, O Lamb of the Heavenly Father, accept us as your sheep. Unite us to you on the cross and on the altar, and form our hearts according to your victimal heart. And if my poor life can serve you to bring the souls for whom you thirst to your heart, take it, my love, I beg you. But only triumph as spouse in the hearts and souls of this institute, and King over all hearts. Mother Maria of Jesus offered her life in prayer to extend the life of Pope Pius IX during his last illness, and renewed that self-offering in 1882 for the sake of Leo XIII. Her community was just beginning to grow and to become solidly established when God invited her to a final and ultimate sacrifice. Mother Maria of Jesus had taken up her religious residence at La Serviane and was guiding her community from that house. This monastery, which had been so desired for her, had a young servant named Louis Chave, a 20-year-old, an orphan of family, who was unable to hold a steady job. Through the invitation of a friend, the generous Mother Foundress had given him work as a gardener's assistant for the community, but his labors were never satisfactory and his manner surly. On Saturday, February 23, 1884, he was asked to go to the train station to pick up a package. He refused without giving a reason, and that same day disappeared. We know now that he spent the next 2 days writing a letter to an anarchistic newspaper proclaiming himself a socialist, a Freemason, and an enemy of the Church. On Wednesday, February 27th, the community celebrated the beginning of Lent with the imposition of ashes and special penances. That afternoon, the foundress, together with the community, was taking a walk in the garden that surrounded the property. Suddenly, at the edge of the garden, Louis Chave appeared and came down a hillside heading for the foundress. Mother Marie, thinking that he had some business to ask her about, approached him, asking good-naturedly, Louis, have you found other work? Without a word, he pulled from his clothing a revolver and, placing it to her throat, fired at point-blank range. Then he turned against the mother assistant, who was walking together with the foundress, and again fired 2 shots of his revolver. He began to shout and run as the community of sisters who had been walking at some distance from the foundress and her assistant turned on him, trying to protect the 2 nuns and to discover what had happened. Before their eyes they saw their poor foundress fall to her knees, her mouth filled with blood. Hardly able to speak, she nonetheless looked at the sisters and said, I forgive him. I forgive him. For my work. For my work. And then, with a sigh, she fell to the ground. The sisters immediately ran for Father Kalage so that he might come and give absolution. When he arrived, he went first to the Mother Vicar, for the bullet wound was apparent in her chest, and then turning to the foundress to give absolution, he realized that she was in the moment of passing from this life to the next. God had called for her identification with Christ our Savior to be made perfect in this great sacrifice. Her final testament, I forgive for my work, for my work, was the expression of Mother Maria of Jesus' whole life. Forgiveness in Christ and through the power of His grace, reparation for the sins and offenses of others, and the offering of all of her strength for the work of her community. Crowds surrounded the convent to attend the funeral of this marvelous martyr of love. She was interred first in Marseille, and later in 1905, her body was transferred to Belgium. The mother assistant, Mother Elise, survived the shooting to become Mother General and solidify the work of the congregation, founding numerous other houses. In 1989, Mother Maria of Jesus was declared blessed by Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Basilica. Her body had been exhumed from its place in the crypt of the Basilica at Berchem and found to be completely incorrupt, the marks of the bullet wounds still apparent 100 years after her death. She remains now beneath the altar of the Sacred Heart in the Basilica at Berchem, the goal of numberless pilgrims who come to pray before this great adorer of the Blessed Sacrament. The Congregation of Daughters of the Heart of Jesus continues to faithfully render its testimony to the love of Christ and to His true presence in the Holy Eucharist. They keep adoration of the Blessed Sacrament each day, pondering the words of Jesus on the cross, those words of love and life and forgiveness, offering anew to the Eternal Father the blood and water that flowed from His side, uniting themselves to Mary Most Holy, who stands by the side of every Mass, who stands at every altar. Great and many are the priests and religious who have found strength and inspiration through their prayers. St. Maximilian Kolbe, as a seminarian and young priest in Rome, used to attend benediction in their chapel on the Via dei Villini, and there he offered himself as a victim soul for the needs of the Church. Father Edward Poppe, the Belgian servant of God, declared that his vocation and perseverance in seminary studies was owed to this great foundress. Father Clement Staub, the foundress of the Sisters of St. Joan of Arc, sought inspiration too in the writings of this holy woman when he founded his own community dedicated to service to the priesthood in the New World. In this century, in which reparation and expiation for sin are often so little understood, the figure of Mother Maria of Jesus is placed before our eyes by the Church as a sign of Christ's constant protection and grace, of His power to raise up in every age new and wondrous holy women who will stand at the foot of the cross to receive graces from His open heart and to distribute these graces to the whole Church. By her death, Mother Marie was called to participate fully in the divine offering. Plunged into the light of the Holy Spirit, she heard over and over again in her heart the words of St. Paul, "He must reign." Anticipating in some way the works and intentions of the Second Vatican Council, she called upon her sisters to participate fully in the liturgy of the Church, offering themselves together with the priest and with Christ as victims of love for the sanctification of the whole world. Since our Holy Father has placed this great woman before our eyes as model of prayer and grace, let us ask her to intercede for us, that we might share more fully and more actively in the offering of the Holy Mass, that we might participate with the priest in the offering of Christ to the Father. As the Second Vatican Council reminds us, the Church therefore earnestly desires that when Christ's faithful, when present at this mystery of the faith, should not be there as strangers or as silent spectators. On the contrary, through a good understanding of the rites and prayers, they should take part in the sacred action, conscious of what they are doing with devotion and full collaboration. They should be instructed by God's word and be nourished at the table of the Lord's body. They should give thanks to God, offering the Immaculate Victim not only through the hands of the priest, but also together with him, they should learn to offer themselves. Through Christ the Mediator, they should be drawn day by day into ever more perfect union with God and with each other, so that finally God may be all in all. Let us ask Blessed Mary of Jesus to continue to inspire the Church and all of us with great love for Christ in his sacrifice, for Mary in her union with the sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice of the altar, and to call and invite many young women to this service of love, this reparation in spirit and in truth. On the occasion of the beatification of Mother Marie, this prayer was composed asking her intercession. O God, Father of mercy, by your Holy Spirit you have enlightened Blessed Mary of Jesus and have made her an untiring promoter of true participation for all the faithful in the celebration of the Mass. Now we ask that you grant through her intercession the grace of uniting our own sacrifice with this one sacrifice of Christ, so that we may all participate with knowledge, love, and humility in the liturgy of Holy Mass. Grant us also, O Lord, that special grace that we ask through the intercession of Blessed Mary of Jesus. We make all these our prayers through you, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today to the program Blessed Among Men and Women with your host, Father John Horgan.